for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, December the 28th, 2017. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Faith to Overcome the Threefold Cord. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Not a heart of stone. So now all those spirits, go. Say it with meaning. Go. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Come on out of God's people. In the name of Jesus. Come out now. In the name of Jesus. Come out of them now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All that anger, all that bitterness, in the name of Jesus, I break your power. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. All unforgiveness, let them go. In the name of Jesus, every spirit the Lord ordains to come out now. I thank you, Father. Thank you for your angels, your warriors. Swing the sword and get them out, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I forgive everybody. I forgive myself. I release everyone. I make no charges against any human being. I'd have done the same thing if I was them, raised by their parents with their ancestors. So I release them all. I give them to you. And I release myself. I give me to you. And I, Lord, Father, if I've charged you with anything, blamed you for anything, consciously or subconsciously, I repent and I break these curses off of me and my bloodline and command those spirits to go. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. All that unholy judgment, come out now in the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness, come out now in the name of Jesus. Let them go. All religious spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus. All religion, come out of there. Religious spirit, tradition, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Blaming spirits in the name of Jesus. Accusing the brethren, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Nitpicker, get out in the name of Jesus. Nitpicker, get out now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, well, in the name of Jesus, all that gall, the Spirit of gall, nested in the gallbladder. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All that bile in the spiritual bile, I break your power. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. When you experience rejection, you feel unloved, unwanted, unacceptable. Jesus felt the pain of rejection. The Bible refers to Christ as the cornerstone, the vital, the most essential stone of a major structure. And he was the cornerstone that the builders rejected. To be rejected is to be cast aside, cast off, cast away. To be thrown away if you have no value. When you're rejected, you feel useless, abandoned, and worthless. The Greek word thetio means to do away with, to set aside, to cast, or throw away as useless or unsatisfactory. To reject someone means to despise, to refuse, to shun, to turn away from. If you reject others, you use your attitudes and actions to reveal the conditions of your heart. Hebrew word maas, M-A-A-S, means to reject, refuse, and despise. Because God has given each of us a free will, we may choose to reject the Word of God, or even God Himself, as well as ourselves and other people. The wise will be put to shame. They will be dismayed and trapped since they have rejected the Word of the Lord. What kind of wisdom do they have? According to Jeremiah 8 and 9. Those operating in deep rejection are and a never-ending, they're in a never-ending quest for acceptance. How many in here have a performance problem? Say, Lord, I don't have to perform to be accepted by you. You'll help me to be excellent. But I want to get out of this race. This race of the flesh. To try to be accepted. Help me to just love me and accept the value you placed upon me at the cross. I give you permission, Lord. To accept someone means to approve or to receive one favorably or willingly. We should receive, listen, and value others because of their God-given worth. Listen to me. Sometimes people don't treat you so nice. So you have to fall back on the price the Lord paid for them, even if they're not acting right. Your acceptance of others is based on the disposition of the heart, which in turn is expressed through your attitude and actions. Jesus Christ provides the supreme example of acceptance. The Bible says we are to accept others the same way Christ accepts us. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So here are some levels of acceptance. There's zero acceptance. No matter what I do, I'll never be accepted. The person who totally rejects you, harbor deep hurt, bitterness, and extend no grace and no mercy. Yet the Bible says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:31-32. Then there's performance-based acceptance. I feel accepted only when I perform perfectly. The person who only accepts you based on how you act demands, you must meet my requirements. And rarely offers grace and mercy. Maybe that was your father. Maybe it was your mother. If that was the case, forgive them now. Let them go. Say, Lord, I let them go. If that's you. There you go. Whoever else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. James 2:13. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. People are ugly to you. You extend mercy to them. Triumphs. Lord, and then there's unconditional acceptance. That's where we want to be. That's in the agape love of the Lord. No matter what I do, even when I fail, I always feel accepted. There can be other people. A person accepts you, especially when you fail. They live with a heart of grace and mercy, and it reflects the heart of God. Zechariah 7:9, show mercy and compassion to one another. It's only when we're healed from our own rejections that we begin to accept ourselves and others through the agape love of God described above. So here's some other types of rejection. There's overt, open and obvious rejection. Here's a few examples. If this is you, this is a moment for you to be healed. You'll have other moments. I believe, and I'm speaking, that the Lord is going to heal hearts this weekend. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to bind their wounds. We're going to leave here different than we came here. Well, there's overt or obvious rejection. How about a child is unwanted or unloved, and a parent says, I wish you'd never been born. Maybe the words were, you're no good, and you never have been. Maybe the words are, you're a bad person. Maybe somebody said, you'll never turn out to be successful. Maybe your parents spent long periods away from you, excessively gone, not there to love you and raise you and nurture you in the admonition of the Lord. There's hidden rejection. It's usually not intended, but listen. So it can happen through overprotection and smothering. Can prevent you from becoming a fully functional person, so your own person is rejected as somebody tries to mold you into exactly who they are. Performance-based conditional love. I love you if. There can be the premature death of parents, your loss of the primary source of acceptance, and the devil is so good that your parents didn't ask to die, but he's got to use it and made you mad at them and mad at God because they're not there. And you feel rejected. And then maybe somebody else raised you, but they didn't love you like they were supposed to. Every orphan, and then every child that's abandoned and then adopted, has spirits of rejection and abandonment in them. And we thank God if you're adopted. You thank God if you had good adopted parents. And thank you, Lord, for that. But the truth is, they were never meant to raise you. God provided a way. He has a way of making lemonade out of a lemon. But the enemy always afflicts us. Why do you think somebody raised by adopted parents and they're loved and they're nurtured and they're taken care of and many of them shown the love of the Lord and then all of a sudden they go on a journey somewhere as they get older to find their parents? And then oftentimes the child raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, they've been raised right, they've been brought to church, they've been taught the love of God, and then all of a sudden they twist off and act just like the parents did. The birth parents. Are the things we inherit and that rejection that's there. Sometimes people are born and the parents were looking for a girl and they had a boy, or they're looking for a boy and they had a girl. And the words are spoken. Sometimes there's a change of life, baby. Your parents were older when they had the baby and you're the one caught the accident. Even by people not meaning to be ugly. Oh yeah, you were the accident. Sometimes there can be the deprivation of parental love and extended hospital confinement in infancy and early childhood or military service. The father's gone, the mother's gone, or here this child is sick and so he has to stay in the hospital and so the mother and the child don't bond like they're supposed to. The child wasn't able to feel his mother's skin or her skin. There can be unfavorable comparisons to siblings with favoritism. Suicide of a parent, the epitome of rejection of self and all others. You may have ungodly strongholds in your thought process. They can be subconscious as well as conscious. They might sound something like this. Listen to me. Listen, church. If I speak these words and these are your words, disown these words. If this is your stronghold, say, I break you in Jesus' name. You don't belong to me. It's a stronghold is a demonically infused thought process. Something straight from the devil, contrary to the word of God that you believe. It is a lie that you believed and lived. So if these words are familiar to you, or the Holy Spirit brings a word to you, say, I renounce those words. I break their pride. Just do it yourself. Under your breath. We'll deal with some things in a minute. But if you get in agreement that that has nothing in you anymore, you're setting the table for what God's going to do. Amen? He can just deliver you before I ever speak a word. Thank you, Father. He's a deliverer anyway. All he's doing is backing my words. It ain't me. How about I'm not good enough? I have to earn your love. I can never please you. I am always the one at fault. I know that what I think isn't important. I don't even deserve to be loved. I don't feel that God could ever love me. I have to try harder. I have to be perfect. I always feel stupid. I am stupid. I'm just stupid. I'm not acceptable to others. I know there is nothing likable about me. Who could really love me? I break those strongholds in the name of Jesus, for the word weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. We break them now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Let God's people go. I break the power of every individual Pharaoh in this room in the name of Jesus. I break their power. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go. Their lives. The enemy is the father of all lies. It is time that we as a people reject being rejected. They're lies of the enemy, child of God. So what are some inner symptoms of rejection? What are the ramifications of rejection? Perhaps you're unaware of the subtle impact of your soul, which is your mind and your will and emotions. One obvious assault rejection makes on your soul is an altering of your own self-perception and the inevitable insecurities that seem to arise out of nowhere when someone painfully turns away from you. Say in the name of Jesus. Insecurity. Doesn't belong to me. And I don't belong to insecurity. Take a deep breath, child of God. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Come on out. Come on out now. Insecurity. Let him go. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Let him go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Up and out. Come out of the nets in the name of Jesus. You serpents that have been around these nets. Constricting them in the name of Jesus, cutting off the flow of the Word of God, I break your power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Rejection can sear the deepest part of your soul, and at the same time mess with your mind, taint your thoughts, and make you question your ability to function normally. God knows every rejection you ever encounter. He never planned for you to be emotionally, spiritually disabled. Following are many of the classic symptoms of those who've been rejected in the past and as a result have a fear of future rejection. There's ambivalence. It says, I have difficulty making decisions because I can make the wrong decision and be rejected. You're just stuck. Say, I'm coming out of being stuck. Anxiety. I have real apprehension when someone says, trust me. Can't trust the Lord for fear. Bitterness. There's depression. My heart feels so heavy, the pain has pushed me down. Listen, sons and daughters. A lot of times people come to me when they're depressed, and the first thing I ask them is, who are you mad at? Who are you mad at? Who'd you fail to let go of? You can't walk in fellowship where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. Jesus' side are 10,000 pleasures. There's fullness of joy in the Lord. But when you're mad at somebody, and when you retain that, if it's yourself as well, you can't walk in that joy. I can't really trust others not to desert me. Distrust. Fear of abandonment. There's escapism. Life hurts. I just need to numb the pain. Somebody said, I live in fear of being rejected again. Maybe your emotions are flat. My heart is so deeply hurt, I can't seem to feel excited about anything. Guilt and false guilt. I feel so bad about myself, no wonder I was rejected. I deserve to be rejected. Lies. The inability to accept love. Even if others say they love me, I know it's not true. So much rejection that's come up that maybe you were rejected by your father. Maybe you're rejected by your mother. Maybe you had a spouse that didn't do you right. And now you have this beautiful, wonderful spouse that loves you with everything they have. And yet you can't receive their love because you've been hurt before. And it ain't happening again. Inability to accept love. Back to that inferiority, I'll never measure up. Insensitivity. I can't feel for others who are in pain. Introspective. I've got to keep analyzing what's wrong with me. That's you quit. The Word of God's your mirror. Look at it. If you're sinning, repent. Receive the cleansing of the Lord and accept yourself. That's why He died. I'm not worthy of being accepted. We break the power of unworthiness. There's this resignation that says whatever will be, so why even try? Hopelessness, we break your power. Self-condemnation, I feel terrible. I know I'm to blame whenever I'm rejected. Self-pity, I'm always ignored. No one reaches out to me. Self-rejection, I wish I'd never been born. I'm not willing to be vulnerable again, so I'll withdraw. Worry, I'm afraid I'll be scarred. So what are some outer signs of rejection? The unseen pain of rejection can sabotage your soul, shatter your spirit. However, the outer signs of rejection are easily seen and felt by others. When someone special walks out of your life, the joy of living seems like it's snuffed out, like having a wet towel thrown on a lit candle. The darkness of desertion can discolor your perception of others and do untold damage to other relationships. The saddest part of all that is rejection breeds rejection. In truth, no one can avoid being rejected or treated unjustly in time. Nobody. We're all going to deal with it. But when you remember your identity is in the Lord. Your identity is in the Lord. He paid the price. That's your value. Nobody can pay that price, but He did. All the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, all the oil, all the riches, nothing compares to the price that He paid. Because of your relationship with Him, not in the rejection of others, you'll experience the truth. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
So outer signs of rejection. That means what we do, or what a rejected person is doing to you. Abuse. Mistreating others, even yourself. Addiction. Seeking solace in addictive behavior in an effort to numb your pain. Anger. Apathy. Arrogance. Competitive. I have to be the best. Critical spirit. Defensive. Can't even be taught, because if for somebody to teach you something means you got to admit you don't know something. And for to admit I don't know something means I feel less than who I am. We have to be teachable. Listen, there's a whole lot. I might not have known something last week I know today. Or yesterday. I try to learn something every day. For me to learn something means I had to go somewhere and some human being with the Holy Ghost teaching me, confirming what they did, something I didn't know. Praise God for teachers. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. There's isolationism. I'm going to go run and hide. There's jealousy, resenting what other people have. There's legalism, rigid set of rules with no love. People pleasing, perfectionism, rebellion, resisting authority. Subservient, like a worm in the dirt, got a cower in the presence of other people. Undisciplined, lacking self-control with no boundaries. Vengeful, you know what they did to me, I'm going to get them. They're going to pay. The Bible says vengeance is the Lord.
That's right.
So how does rejection affect marriage? The spouse who before marriage experienced significant... Now listen, somebody in here might not be married. Somebody in here may want a spouse. Wouldn't it be good to be healed and whole before you got married? So this is for you too. The spouse who before marriage has experienced significant rejection does not know how to give or receive love and has never learned basic trust. People who have a pattern of rejection from childhood will often reap rejection into situations or conversations where none exist. Often rejected people marry one another and follow a pattern of mutual rejection. Two train wrecks. God's bigger. The Lord is bigger. He's the healer. My wife and I were a train wreck. God used her and God used me to fine-tune one. But we had to die. We had to die to self. And we had to call on the name of the Lord. And we had to cast out demons. And we had to break unholy soul ties. And we had to do a lot of that. A lot of times in the first 3 or 4 years. Okay? We said things to each other none of you would believe. Maybe you would. You can be in the spirit one moment and be in the flesh the next. It's only in that yielding. It's only in the breaking. It's only in the accepting that the Lord loves you, in the Father's love, that you begin to accept yourself, that you don't have to show up for every fight. Another common result of rejection is that of clinging like a leech to a person who gives him love which he has been seeking. You monopolize the giver's time and affections, and then there's extreme jealousy. Efforts to reduce this are interpreted as further rejection. This then results in the smothered person desiring to terminate the relationship, proving, as it seems, that the rejected person's deepest fears were true. Rejection begets rejection. Some people like to talk nonstop. Other people need to be quiet every once in a while. So two people get together, and one of them needs to be quiet, the other one can't let them be quiet because they think them being quiet is a rejection of them. And it's not. My wife and I both like to talk, so we don't have a problem. We didn't have that as an issue. Sometimes we talk too much, baby. Huh? We're getting better at it. Thank you, Father. The Lord's been good. He is our healer. He's mighty in battle. All right. Rejected people cannot permit true loving friends the right to be an independent person, but often try to control the person, thus unwittingly setting up another rejection. Rejection can come from children due to favoritism shown to siblings. Sometimes, listen, this is very common. There is a problem child that gets all the attention, leaving the good child feeling neglected. Even if parents accept and treat children justly and equally, comparisons and our rivalry with one another can produce feelings of inferiority. Maybe one of the siblings excels at something and they get accolades, but you don't excel. Even the best of parents mess their children up. Huh? Even the best. Everybody say, I forgive them, Lord. What people encounter in their formative years 1 through 5 can cause distortion of the framework of our inner man. Lack of love, rejection from the time of conception on, being unwanted before birth. A traumatic incident during gestation. Mother being sexually molested. Attempts to abort the baby. Things that happen in the womb. Words spoken. We want to destroy the lies with the truth of God's Word. Listen, everybody say, the truth is what God thinks. The truth is what God says. The truth has been written for me. The truth is God's Word. I believe that. It's the truth I know that's going to set me free. Listen, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Truly, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? For I am persuaded. This is true. Receive it. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you receive that?
Yes.
Make a choice today to refuse to be rejected. Let's choose this day to be fully accepted by God and receive His love. If you will, pray with me. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That you love me.
That you love me.
Now I want to say this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Now say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. You are with me. Say this, the Lord God is with you. He is mighty to save. Now we're going to change that. Say, the Lord God is with me. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in me. He will quiet me with His love. He will rejoice over me with singing. Say, thank you, Lord, that you forgive me. Say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. Say, I receive that, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. You adopted me. Say, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Say, that's me. Say, thank you, Lord. You'll never leave me. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I say, thank you, Lord. You care for me. Say, can I cast all my anxiety on the Lord? Because He cares for me. Say this. Say, Lord, you are my Heavenly Father, and I love you. Today, I let my guard down and allow you to pour into me perfect love, which casts out fear, and reveal to me what acceptance looks like. I repent for my own rejection of people, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Father, I ask you, as your child, to show me the ways I've been rejected and the people who have rejected me. Even the areas where I was not truly rejected, but perceived it. I believe, Lord, you're bigger than rejection. And since I'm willing to forgive and renounce rejection, I will be healed and set free in Jesus' name. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, to my soul. Now, close your eyes, take a moment, and let the Lord show you who's rejected you, who you perceive rejected you, who you need to let go, who you need to forgive. The lies need to be broken, and just let them go. And then I'm going to tell you what you do here. And every one of those you see, just take your hand and just kind of chop it like this. I break it. I break it. If the Lord shows you, just start breaking them. Just start breaking them. He's showing you, break them. Break them, Lord. It's an act of faith here. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're the Holy One of Israel. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You make it clear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bind any spirit that would prevent them from hearing, prevent them from seeing, prevent them from knowing. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. My sheep hear my voice. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, say, I command rejection, ambivalence, anxiety, bitterness, depression, distrust, escapism, and fear. Delete. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Come on out now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Bitterness, depression, distrust, escape, fear. Go, 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 go. In an escape into anger. In the name of Jesus, escape into complaining. Go, 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 go. Get out. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to continue to call out spirits. If they're there, they're coming out. Say, I agree.
I agree.
If these spirits are in me, along with any life spirits, as my brother called them out, they have to flee. In Jesus' name. Now keep taking deep breaths. Come on out now. Flat emotion. In the name of Jesus. Numbness. Come out. Guilt. False guilt. In the name of Jesus, inferiority, insensitivity, introspective, low self-worth, get out. Resignation, go. Self-condemnation, go. Self-pity, go. Self-rejection, go. Worry, go. Anxiety, get out of God's people. In the name of Jesus, darkness of the soul, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Let it go. In Jesus' name, abuse, addiction, anger, apathy, arrogance, undue competition. Get out now in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Arrogance, competitive, critical spirit. In the name of Jesus. Judgmental, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Domination, go. Exaggeration, go. Hatred, go. Anger, hatred, murder, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. Isolator, go. Jealousy, get out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Legalism, get out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, people pleaser, I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. Go, go. Performance, get out. Perfectionism, get out. Rebellion, go. Say rebellion. You gotta go. Rebellion. That's the sin of witchcraft. You gotta go. Stubbornness. You gotta go. Say, I repent for all of it, Lord. Now go. In Jesus' name. Deep breath. Come on out now. Come on out. Come on out. Undisciplined. Go. Vengeful. Get out. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. I break the cycle of rejection in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. With all this rejection and with the things that happen, the enemy has another tactic that he places on God's people. It's called shame. It's called shame. Now, there's a place where sometimes when we sin, we need to have some ashamed of what we've done so we can go to God. But to live a life with a cloak of shame, with your head hung down. I've known people that walk around like this all the time, face down, until the Holy One touched them. Until the Holy One of Israel took that cloak of shame off of them. Shame is one of many bondages the enemy oppresses us with. As we begin to dig in the spirit of shame, we can identify the root of its origin, bring to light the ways this spirit can manifest. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you open our eyes that we would learn, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It would be the truth, your truth be learned and applied to be set free from the bondage of shame in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of the shackles. We shatter the shackles of shame and break the power of the oppressor and the accuser in Jesus' name. There's guilt and there's shame. The initial guilt when sin is done is your smoke detector. It's good. You need to know. Everybody say, Lord,
Lord,
I want to be convicted.
I want to be convicted
when I sin.
When I sin.
In word and deed.
In word and deed.
I want to be convicted.
Even when my thoughts
are going the wrong direction. I give you permission. See, guilt's like that smoke. It lets you know something's wrong. So we can go to God. Perpetual guilt means you don't know how to go to God and just receive your cleansing. We don't sin on purpose. We should not sin on purpose. But I promise you, if anybody could have lived a life free of sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And 1 John 1:9, it says, confess your faults to Jesus, and He's just and faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness is to the born-again believer. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another, and you shall be healed, is to the believers. That's how we did. You know you're guilty, you go to God. It is our alarm to sin. If it's handled correctly, guilt produces godly sorrow, which leads to repentance, and then confession, and forgiveness, and freedom. Holy Spirit convicts us.
Let me tell you something. He does it continually once you've gone to the Lord, and if you were sincere, it ain't Him pounding on you. It's a stronghold. There can be a stronghold called shame. Back in, coupled with that rejection is there's no way God could still love me after that. I don't even need to pray because He's not going to hear me. Look what I've done. I failed. I might as well give up and quit. I've ruined too many lives. It's a position of oppression. It can become some people's identity. That voice in your head says you don't fit in. Nobody likes you. You're stupid. You're the only one who's made this mistake. How can God love you? It's back here, like I said, tied in with rejection. Everyone is against me. I hate myself. It's that hanging of the head because there's a cloak of shame been put upon you. Webster's defines it as a condition of humiliating disgrace. Disgrace. What's God's grace? That's God's power to help you in this life. Disgrace, the opposite. Lack of such. It is an internalized emotion that causes you to cover up, to envelope. It is more concerned about being rather than doing. Shame says you're no good, you're bad, you're inadequate. It's like an eternal bleeding. Internal bleeding, an inner torment, a sickness of the soul. A shame-based person is haunted by a sense of absence and emptiness. A vague, undefined heaviness that presses on our spirit, dampens our gratitude for the goodness of life, and slackens the free flow of joy. Our Creator gave us a wonderful gift called mental recall. Without this ability, we'd never learn to speak, write, memorize Scripture, and so on. But the deceiver uses this gift against us. He's a bully. Oh. Recall a horrible thing when Satan uses it to bring up images that are printed on the mind like pages of a book, like the failures and your sin, haunting you with a voice of shame, scrutinizing everything you've done wrong, and builds a case against you like a prosecutor. And the court is a daily session in your own mind. Shame of a failed marriage. Shame from abortion. Shame from an abandoned child. Shame for criminal acts. Shame for lost opportunity. Shame for words spoken in anger. Shame for affirmation without withheld in bitterness. Shame. Maybe you were molested and you've been walking in shame your whole life. It's relentless. You're left feeling hopeless, worthless, and empty. Shame's a tormentor that vexes the soul. It's an accusing spirit. The accusing spirit uses the letter of the law to lay heavy burdens and crush its victims, just as the Pharisees would do. It is the voice of condemnation, not conviction. That accusing spirit's an antichrist spirit because it deliberately writes off the work of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus for the remission of sin. Shame came in the garden. What's the first thing Adam and Eve did? They knew they were naked. They never knew that until the glory was gone. They try to cover themselves with fig leaves. Shame will cause you to compare yourself constantly to others and see where you fall short, and that generates more shame. It can bring repression. The definition of repression is an act of subduing something or someone by force. It is an attempt to deal with shame by repressing or denying the incident that produces shame. And it leads to more shame. Shame's voice says, you should have done this. Or if I only had, it can make you a victim. And you view yourself as controlled by other people. You know, there could be hopeless addictions, or you think it's bad luck or fate, which are both lies. You mentally surrender to helplessness and accept the shamed existence. It can become an identity. Maybe as a child, again, back to those words, naughty, bad boy, bad girl, shame on you. We never shame on anybody. And if somebody ever said shame on me, I don't receive that. You should never speak that to your children. You don't place that upon them. You bring godly correction. However the Holy Spirit tells you to correct your child, and then when you're through correcting them, you affirm their value. You don't place shame upon them. Embarrassing situations can bring shame. And people can't get in front of people because of what happened at the chalkboard when they was a little kid. In school and got embarrassed by it. Maybe when a teacher said and the children laughed. or any other myriad of circumstances. It results in a loss of dignity. In that adolescent stage when people get clumsy sometimes, get a little goofy and people make fun of them instead of affirming them. Just kidding hurts a lot of people. Sarcasm is the devil's language. Sarcasm. It's got a low-grade anger to it. It always cuts people. It never edifies anything. And oftentimes it's hid behind just kidding. It hurts people. We've all done that. Words create your atmosphere. We've all suffered from that. I used to be able to cut with the best of them. I thought it was fun. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. There can be shame-based reactions. They are implemented to avoid dealing with root issues. There can be scapegoating. Boy, that's when you blame someone else as a way to pass up something you've done instead of going to the Lord. And then when you've done that, you know, you haven't dealt with it. So you deal with the shame of having done that. It does bring perfectionism. It brings self-punishment. People punish themselves, even to the point in the worst cases, suicide, or somebody cuts himself to appease those demons. They're tormented by the shame and they feel dirty and they feel unclean and they don't feel valued, and so they even begin to cut. And when they cut, they're making a blood sacrifice to the enemy, and then he leaves them alone for a little while. It can cause people to become controllers. Everybody say, Lord, forgive me if I'm trying to control people. And if I'm believing shame belongs to me. There can be the suppression of true feelings, arrogant self-righteousness, all of that. Many a puffed up person, you know, what we call pride. So pride can go a couple of ways, and pride and fear and all that shit, it works together. If I don't know who I am, I need to be more than who I think I am. So maybe I puff up my own accomplishments. I might try to make myself bigger in your eyes, so I'm bigger in my own eyes because I don't feel big in my eyes. Or maybe I just run and hide because I can't stand what you might think about me. You have a little shame or a lot of shame. Today is the day of deliverance. It's time to act against it. It's time to put those scriptures that I just quoted, two of them, into action. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's time to get healed. It's time to confess our faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. It's time to do what the Word of God says and take authority over the work of darkness. It's time to repent and forgive. It's time to submit to God, James 4:7, and resist the devil and let him flee. It's time to take authority over the enemy. And those spirits of shame and guilt and accusation and command them to leave. Say, Father God, I repent for any and all sin that has brought shame on my life. I forgive those that have shamed me through hurtful words, deeds, and embarrassment. I forgive myself for my own failures and sin against you, myself, and others. I renounce shame and all that it entails. And I receive you, Lord, as my glory and the lifter of my head. I thankfully receive my life as your gift to me. I receive me as your child. In Jesus' name, I ask you now, Lord, to show me where shame entered, where it has affected me, and where I need to forgive. Now close your eyes and let the Lord minister to me. Let Him show me. Now take a deep breath. Let Him go. Let Him go, shame. Let Him go. Perpetual guilt. Perpetual shame. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, let Him go. Let Him go. Shame to this. In the name of Jesus. I can't believe I did that. Go. In the name of Jesus, let Him go. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let God's people go. Sweetheart, Jerry, would y'all please come up here? You're a sweetheart too. Sweet as anybody I know. One of you over here and one of you over here, please. Just stand over here. And here's what we're going to do. I started off tonight talking about faith. Get delivered, it takes faith. And a minute ago, I had to kind of chop some things. An act of faith. Get rid of things. Okay? If you want to, you come up and approach, and one of them will be on one side and one on another. And what they're going to do is if you had a cloak of shame over you your whole life, almost like a blanket over your head called shame, or a robe of shame. If you want to, you come up here. God prompts you, you come up here. And they're going to take that robe and that cloak of shame off of you. And they're going to place the robe of righteousness on you. God's already given you this robe of righteousness, but you fully receive it. So if you want shame off and righteousness on, come up here and just come on. Come on. Come on. Come to this side, come to that, it doesn't matter which one, you just come fill in the lines. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.